Hello, I'd like to talk about foreshadowing with you today in literature. So when I am teaching my classes and I talk about foreshadowing and I give lots of examples and possibilities and what not to do, what I have most noticed is if students get it wrong, it's because of one of two reasons. One is that they're being far too direct. They're not really giving a hint. There are a few occasions where you can call semi-direct statements foreshadowing, but really that's kind of a stretch. It's really just more of a statement of like, this is gonna happen, watch out for it, folks. But with foreshadowing, it's much more subtle generally. So when people just give direct statements about what's going to happen, that's not really what we're looking for with foreshadowing. We want the reader to be able to get involved and start figuring it out like a detective. People like to feel like detectives. They like to feel like we're catching the clues. Maybe not everybody else is catching them, but we're catching them. And we are starting to predict what's going to happen, because that kind of activity is what we crave in our primal senses. It's how we've learned to survive. The other way that people will get the foreshadowing off sometimes is that when they put the short foreshadowing in their stories, I can't find it, even though I know that's what it's supposed to be, that's the assignment. Other students can't find it. The student who wrote it knows what the foreshadowing is, but it's so subtle that there's not really an indication yet as to what it will be pointing to. In some cases, that's fine. Of course, we don't know yet. That's kind of the point. The whole thing hasn't played out yet. But when they explain it to us and they say this is what it's foreshadowing, it still is too subtle. So it needs to be right in the middle between too subtle and too direct. So there are some examples of ways that you can use foreshadowing. There's so many other ways besides this, but I just made a little list of potential possibilities. So you can use the weather. So this is a common method. You know, it was a stormy night. If it's a stormy night, we know it's probably going to be a stormy, dramatic event coming along. It's going to be dangerous and ominous. And so sometimes the weather can be lightning, it can be electric, and you know, there may be some kind of intense romantic attraction between people. There may be shadows coming around the corners, like the famous de Chirico paintings, where everything had shadows, everything was the suspense of what's going to happen next. There could be some kind of internal weather. Somebody could get the chills, you know, if they're, maybe they're encountering ghosts, maybe they're having memories or sudden revelations of something awful that they're not ready to face yet. It could be beautiful weather, you know, rainbows and at the beginning of a book, if there's all this wonderful weather stuff, it can give us the sense that yes, there may be a lot of family-friendly, wholesome events to come, but obviously a book can't be all happy, and the wholesome weather can be the expectations of the person that get dashed, but then maybe it returns to the bright weather again at the end. The first sentence often is considered foreshadowing, at least the first paragraph, because very, very often the very first paragraph and the very last paragraph are linked in a narrative. So we see the before and the after snapshot that way. And so the first paragraph, if somebody's driving in one direction at the end, they may be driving back the other direction, or they may be driving in an old jalopy going forward, they may be coming back in a fancy jet airline on the way back. So music, just as you would have a soundtrack in a movie, the music that's playing or that the people think about or notice, that's generally going to be quite meaningful, at least to create the mood, generally also foreshadowing something relating to the lyrics. Maybe it's a song from a movie, and so something similar to that movie will be happening. So all of the senses can be involved. So it can be taste. If somebody's eating and just they're just all these awful things, it ends up, you know, crumbling in the mouth with just some sort of doughy, uninspired yuckiness. You know, it just, it fits with that person's sad world he's living in, where nothing is really fulfilling and exciting, and he wants something that's going to taste good, and then eventually something comes along that's intensely flavored in a romance or a job career that he wants to pursue or something like that. Smell, of course. So if there's a faint whiff of necrosis, or whenever this person is around somebody else, he might smell flowers, you know, notice the flowers that he didn't notice elsewhere, you know. You can kind of picture where those are going. Sometimes it will be an object that the person sees, and it might just be mentioned casually as something that's on the wall, something that the person is given or picks up and thinks about and then sets down. And so those objects generally are going to have some kind of recurrence later. It could be a symbol that is a cultural symbol that's well known, or something that's being explored in the folk tale of the story, something that is a metaphor. There could be a lot of metaphors. There could be a pattern to the metaphors. And even though it's not directly related, there could be something about that pattern that will become meaningful later. The person could be doing something symbolic and we don't know why, but then later we see, oh, that's what that symbolized. Maybe wearing something symbolic. Could be directly in code and we don't know what the code is yet. Some sort of action can happen that is going to symbolize a similar action or an opposite action, a larger action. You don't really start with a big action to symbolize a smaller action later. It's always the reverse. It could be something within the dialogue. So somebody could be saying something, it seems offhand, just seems a little odd, you don't quite know what to think about it, and only later does the significance become clear. So I'm going to cut this off here and do a second one so it doesn't get too long. Hello? Stop, please.